Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Before I was an ambassador, I was a history professor. You got to go back. You got to go back maybe to Teddy Roosevelt to see an achievement that would match that of President Trump and his team. Keep in mind, what has he done here? He's brought together countries, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, with European countries, countries that don't even agree on anything, much less on Israel, brought them all.
So you got the ambassador there of the former ambassador to the United States talking about what Donald Trump successfully was able to do with working with Bibi Netanyahu, at least putting together a potential plan for peace. And in the midst of all this, we do have to wait for Hamas to come to an agreement. And it sounds like there's going to be about 3 or 4 days for Hamas to be able to respond to this. And seems like a good plan. Is it actually workable? Is there actually something here that could resolve peace with Gaza in Gaza? And a lot of that plan, that 20-point plan that we talked about and covered yesterday, involves the restoration of Gaza. It's not just peace. It's what happens next as well, if they will agree to it. Let's speak to former United States Senator from Missouri, Jim Talent. Thank you so much, Senator, for being here with us today. It's good to have you back. What are your thoughts on the press conference yesterday, Prime Minister Netanyahu next to President Trump, and the plan that they've put together?
Well, I agree with what you opened with. It's an outstanding diplomatic effort, and really the result of the entire last, 7-8 months of the Trump administration, in which he has rebuilt his personal ties, and also with his trade policy in other ways, maximized the influence of the United States and his own influence over world events. So I very much agree with that. I'm getting excited about the plan, because I think if anything can end the war, this type of plan can do it. And even if it doesn't, it is laying out the roadmap for what Gaza is going to look like afterwards. In other words, the war is going to end either as a result of Hamas agreeing to this plan or Israel finishing off Hamas. And then we all have to get together to think about what to do with Gaza. And I think this is very plausible. Now, 2 points. First, this is only possible because Israel is now engaged in the final stage of its battle in Gaza, which is utter destruction of Hamas. It's the only circumstances under which they would consider agreeing to it. Second, I think what we have to watch out for here is Hamas trying to weasel out, agreeing conditionally or something, then saying it can't find the hostages or it needs some extra time, which I think is probably why the president said, look, you either agree to this or you're going to, what were the words he used, pay in hell for it. Mm-hmm. So we got to be ready for that. But the fact that the Europeans are on board and the Arab states are on board and Qatar and Turkey are leaning on Hamas to accept this is extremely significant. And again, a real triumph for President Trump's diplomacy. There's just no other way to phrase it.
Senator Talent speaking with us right now. President Trump said Hamas has 3 to 4 days to respond, and he said hopefully they agree or they will have a very sad end. Is there anywhere else? I mean, we've done our business in Iran, of course, a few months ago. Is there anywhere else for Hamas to turn to have support and resources to combat what everybody else is starting to circle the wagons and say, okay, this is going to have to end, and it can end peacefully? Does Hamas have anywhere else to go?
Well, certainly not in the short term. Iran can no longer help them. Couldn't get the arms to them if they could, because the lines of supply have been cut off. Hamas is facing utter destruction. That's what the Israeli operation against Gaza City means. And so at the same time, I mean, I still have to say, I will believe when I see it that they turn over these hostages, because once they do that, they've lost all leverage. I think the key here is that the roadmap going forward for Gaza is a process that will involve the other Arab countries, which will give it legitimacy, but which at the end of the day is controlled by the United States, which is the only authority outside of Israel that the Israelis will trust. It's the only way that Netanyahu could get this approved, and not just because of the of the right in his cabinet, the right wing, which is not the same as the right wing here, by the way, but also because really Israel as a whole, across the political spectrum, they're simply not going to trust the creation of an independent state after the last 25 years, the intifadas, the October 7th, all the other attacks, unless they know it is controlled by an utterly reliable partner. And so that was a sine qua non of Netanyahu agreeing.
So when President Trump is delivering these remarks yesterday at this press conference, when he is, he's going over parts of the 20-point plan. Prime Minister Netanyahu is standing next to him. He's talking about, I think, a board of peace was talked about. And he said, he goes, this wasn't my idea, but that he would chair the board of peace to try to ensure that the restoration of Gaza and the growth of Gaza. It's interesting to talk about Gaza in the form of hope as opposed to just violence and destruction.
Yes.
And sadness.
Yes.
How integral is Donald Trump inserting himself into the middle of all of this? And is he a control freak? Are people asking him to step into these roles? How does President Trump fit into this, the success of this plan?
Well, he's pursuing American interests. Is he inserting himself in the middle? I wouldn't say in the middle of it, but he is exercising the influence of the United States skillfully on behalf of our interests. Our interests are the protection of the homeland, which is why Iran no longer has nuclear weapons, and why we have supported Israel in the last 7 months in wiping out their proxies, who are all enemies of the United States. That's one interest we have. And then we have an interest in a stable Middle East, an equilibrium that is controlled by partners who have basically the same interests we do, at least in the stability of the Middle East. And that partnership, which Trump achieved in his first term and has clearly been putting back together, is the United States, Jordan, Egypt, the Gulf states, and Israel. Now, that doesn't mean everybody in that partnership is going to agree on everything. There will always be issues in the Middle East. Syria is the first one that, you know, comes to mind. But it means we can get an equilibrium. We can get stability, which is our second vital national interest in the Middle East, is stability. We don't want attacks on shipping. We don't want the Suez Canal closed. We don't want oil prices to go through the roof because somebody's blowing up Saudi Arabia. So he's pursuing America's interest in the service of that. He has maximized his influence, recognized the kind of coalition that can achieve our ends, and he's put it together.
It's a very political thing to see how in the American media a lot of this stuff gets spun. It's always like, did he achieve peace or not? And I just got to think, you of all people, Senator Talent, would understand how complicated and fragile all of these situations and circumstances might be. We saw President Trump in Alaska with President Putin, and I don't know that we're closer to peace today in that conflict than we were when that meeting happened. I made this comment yesterday that I'm very impressed with what appears to be President Trump's obsession with ending wars. And we were told when he was running for office, before he was president, and then again when he was president, and then when he was running again, that if he were to be elected, we'd be in wars all over the world. But he seems obsessed with the idea of peace and ending war and conflict. Is that your perception of President Trump?
Yeah, I do. I think I've said on the show before, he has a personal aversion to war. And, I mean, no decent person likes war. But I think Trump feels that on a personal level very deeply, more than I would. He's very choosy about using American military power, which is certainly the right principle to follow. I'm concerned sometimes that he takes it a little bit too far, but I think that's correct. But I also think, again, I mean, the interests I just talked about that America has in the Middle East, they predate President Trump. I mean, I was on a panel in 2010. We issued a report and we talked about those interests. So he's basically pursuing American interests, but he's doing it by finding other countries that have basically the same interest and acting with them. And he's very effective at personal diplomacy. Now, of course, his opponents will never admit this. And you can pick at particular tactics, but he has, on the whole, and I've said this for years, I said it after his first term, he's the most effective foreign policy president since at least H.W. Bush. And maybe Reagan. He just is. He has his own style and the way he does it. But he's very effective. And you notice with Ukraine, he has said himself a number of times recently, he said, you know, I thought that would be one of the easiest to solve, and it's turning out to be the hardest. And I do have to say, Annie, I was right in that. I said months ago, Putin is not going to want to come to this table. So we can talk about that if you want to. That I think, is going to be the last one he gets solved.
Is it something that can be solved? I'm watching it and, you know, hoping for the best. The peace, obviously, that would come between these two warring nations, but also being able to focus on the things that we need to focus on here domestically, and not having to put so much of the president of the United States' time and effort into trying to solve this peace. Is it possible that peace is not possible? And that what we need is less death, less violence. And, you know, you got to call that whatever it is.
Oh, perfect peace is not possible. But about a basically stable world in which American security is protected, our interests, economic and otherwise, are advanced, that is very possible. Now, a couple of points. First of all, because of the reaction, and which was fully justified, to the failures in Iraq and Afghanistan, some have drawn the conclusion that we should not try to exercise influence in the world. I think what Trump understands is that, no, we do need to exercise influence, but we exercise it on behalf of American interests, and we use means which keep us away, obviously, from escalating armed conflict with a peer competitor. In other words, we don't want escalating conflict with China, because that could lead to, you know, a nuclear exchange. But also, we don't want these long draining conflicts that, you know, where American casualties mount up and it costs us trillions of dollars. But where we can support allies in conflicts that advance our interests and then negotiate peace that advances our interests, that's exactly what we ought to be doing. And if it means that our president is involved in these things, that's a good thing, in my view. I support it's an intelligent American first. And every successful president's done this. Reagan was American first. He didn't put it that way. But I can give you 10 instances that indicate that. And I think Trump is very much in his tradition strategically. Now, tactically, he's different. You watch the press conference, you watch the difference in styles between him and Netanyahu, which I think is very fun. Netanyahu, very serious. Trump, going off on a stream of consciousness sometimes. But listen, he knows what he's doing. His detractors hate to admit it, never will admit it, but he does.
Yeah. Last question before we let you go. We're grateful for your time. We're speaking with former United States Senator from Missouri, Jim Talent. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth's comments today, and talking about reestablishing standards that are uniform and that aren't lowered, in his words, among many other words that he spoke today. What did you think about that press conference, that or gathering of our military officials that he had today?
Yeah, it's been a consistent theme. He's been effective in messaging it and enforcing it. We should be aiming for getting the best people who can do the best job on behalf of the American people in every agency of the federal government. We should be making decisions without regard, you know, to race, ethnicity. We should be wanting the best people. It's especially important in the Department of Defense. It's a live or die agency. And you have to get the best people. You have to keep the standard high. And then you're going to see. And the odd thing about it is, it's not even odd. The Department of Defense was integrated in the late 1940s. It's the most outstanding example of the achievement of the aspirational goals of the civil rights movement that we have in this country. I mean, anybody who served will tell you that. The esprit de corps, the unit cohesion, the sense of mission that pulls people together, regardless of their background. That's the way to do it. And that's what Hegseth is saying. And I think he's sending a message to the officer corps, and particularly the generals and flags. I got to look at his comments. I haven't done it yet. But, he doesn't want any overweight generals or flag officers either. He doesn't want people coasting because they finally got the star or the second star. And he's right. And you have to send that message to them periodically. So I'm glad he did it. This is something he's doing personally. It's something he feels strongly about. And it's a good message.
Well, it's interesting to get your take on that. And I think it's a sea change, at least in the way a lot of these things are being viewed. And I will be interested to see how it helps with recruiting. Assuming that it does help with recruiting, see what the numbers continue to increase as President Trump has been elected. Of course, we need to have our military be very strong, and we are very proud of it, of course.
Yes, and the best people. And I think recruiting is going to continue to go up. And for your listeners, I mean, look, if you're a young person or you know a young person who wants an outstanding career, you can succeed at this, whether you want to make it a career or just do a hitch or two. You can succeed at a whole lot of things and a whole lot of people. One of them is the Vice President of the United States. Got their start really in the military, and I'd encourage anybody to consider it. When I pick people for West Point and, you know, the service academies, I always had a party for them afterwards. And I mean to tell you, nothing more encouraging than to see that America is still producing young people like that. I always love that and miss being able to do it.
Amen to that. Senator Talon, thank you, as always, for your time. We love having you here.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Come back again soon. Senator Jim Talent, former United States Senator from Missouri. Let's take a break. YouTube live chat poll. Should all combat military members have to meet the same physical standards? Yes or no? What do you think? Go vote. A lot of people on MSNBC this morning. I think it's a whole panel of women. I was in the car listening, so I'm not 100% sure. They're worried about the women. What do you think? Let us know in the comments on the Annie Fry YouTube live broadcast. Don't forget, you can stream us anywhere you go, anytime, in the Odyssey app. Find 97.1 FM Talk. We'd love to have you there. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Well, it appears as though Senator Thune, who is the Senate Majority Leader, is speaking right now on Capitol Hill. Let's listen in.
Question. But your members aren't concerned that this might backfire, and sometimes these programs come back and they say, wait a minute, that was important to my state. That was important to my district.
Our members are unified that a government shutdown is a really bad idea for all those reasons. And it's the exact reason why Democrats ought to vote to keep the government open.
Democrats have been pretty clear they're going to defeat this House CR when it comes to the floor today. What is Plan B? Will you keep on bringing this back to the floor? And do you think the House should reconvene before Tuesday to maybe move the ball?
I don't know what the House can do that they haven't already done. They passed the bill. It's a bill that's passed by the House, sitting here in the Senate, ready to be signed into law by the President. And it's up to the Senate Democrats. That's where we are. And if they decide to vote it down tonight, they're going to be the ones that have to explain at midnight tonight why the government is shut down. It's really pretty straightforward. And this is something, again, that's been routine around here for a long time until all of a sudden the far left, as Senator Barrasso pointed out, hijacked the Democrat leadership here in the Senate. And they've decided to hijack the American people and hold them hostage to try and get a laundry list, a wish list, a Christmas list of their left-wing priorities attached, in their case, to a four-week continuing resolution. Ours is 7 weeks, but they'll have the same leverage 7 weeks from now that they have today. And as I've said before, we're happy to sit down with them and talk about the concerns they have, the issues they have with, for example, the premium tax credits. But you got to do that. You can't do that in the context of a hostage situation. They need to release the hostage.
If there is a shutdown,
particularly in your foreign constituents, this seems to be having a particularly bad time for them facing a major crisis. No market in China, high input costs, low prices, and they are in a bind. They're going to need some additional help. Now, on top of that, they're facing a shutdown.
Right. And that's why we need to keep the government open. I'm just saying, the Farm Service agencies in my state, the Federal Highway Administration employees in my state or any of the other states and my colleagues who are represented here, the Park Service employees in our state, these are all people that are going to be affected by this. And not to mention our military men and women, men and women in uniform. So this is a totally avoidable crisis. And again, we are not going to be held hostage by the Democrats for more than $1 trillion in new spending and all kinds of other items on their liberal wish list to include free health care for illegal immigrants in this country.
So Senator Thune talking right there from Capitol Hill. And
there you go. All right, Senator Thune speaking live.
Be in a position there to talk about where the Democrats have positioned themselves. And they basically are trying to take a CR that has been proposed by the Republicans, which is 7 weeks more to negotiate the completion of the appropriations bills. We talked with Congressman Bost about that in the 12 o'clock hour. The Democrats said, we're not doing your 7 week CR. We want a 4 week one, and they want to stick a bunch of their policies in that CR. And that's just not going to happen. So does it look like the government's going to shut down at this point? Yes, it still does. A quick break right now. Paul Morrow is going to join us when we return. He's a Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector and attorney, and has been covering the assassination of Charlie Kirk and that court case, the investigation, everything that has led up to it. We're going to get an update from Paul Morrow when we return on that, as well as his thoughts on that incredibly tragic Michigan church shooting that took place this weekend. Quick break. Paul Morrow next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We've seen a lot of hate crimes in the past, right? And we've seen church shoot-ups before. This isn't the first. This is the first that I've seen or that I recall against the Mormon church. That has not been seen. But then again, you know, hatred is hatred. And right. Unfortunately, these crimes continue to happen, and they're on the rise since 2021, especially against Christian churches that we've seen. So unfortunately, you know, the FBI currently is doing their investigation. They're, you know, the family is cooperating. So that's doing search warrants and, you know, conducting their interviews and seeing what they can find. But right now, the motive, pure hate.
The motive is pure hate. And boy, are we unfortunately starting to see this more and more in our country. That was former FBI supervisory agent Jack Jupin on Fox. Let's get to our guest, excited to bring back to the show. Paul Morrow joins us once again, a Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector, attorney, and founder of the OpsDesk.org. Paul, welcome back. Thanks for being with us here this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk to you about two stories, big stories that are taking place right now. But I want to start with this Michigan church terrible tragedy this weekend. Can you tell us what we know about this perpetrator? Of course, it seems to me like on the outside looking in, everybody, the first thing they want to know is who this guy votes for. I would assume it's a little more complicated and intricate than that.
Yeah, it always is. And the fact that it hasn't just leaked out as to where he stands politically, I think should all give us all pause, because it does not seem to ground, at least as far as the facts that are publicly released that I have access to, it doesn't seem to ground in some sort of a political animus. It seems to be more religious. The only sort of threat vectors I see coming from this guy seem to be directed specifically at the Mormon church. And there's some reporting, somebody who was canvassing door to door for the church knocked on his door, said why he was there, and this guy, this is a previous incident, lit up like crazy against the Mormon church. He seemed to have some real bone to pick with them. I assume his family might know if this was such a deep aspect of his personality, but right now that seems to be all we have, that he seems to have really had a grudge against the Mormon church for some reason.
Yeah. You know, I want to ask you on a broad level, with your time being an NYPD inspector, of course, you serve as an attorney as well. I have to think that there is a mental state that these people who are on kind of the political commentary side, people are motivated by hate, but there has to be a mental state that is susceptible to the kind of dwelling that it takes to hate somebody so much that you would do something that normal people would never even fathom doing. Do we have a mental health crisis in our country right now?
You know, I know we say that, and I think that I am willing to buy into that to the extent that I think that, let's say, young millennials and Gen Z who were locked down during COVID and who were very, very internalized, sitting in their homes at most looking at a computer screen, and were not socialized in school the way they probably should have been during crucial formative years. I can buy that. That much I will go into. In terms of whether or not we have a mental health crisis, quote unquote, that's any different from any other mental health issues we ever had in the past, I'm not qualified to say, and I'm not sure that I've seen anything compelling in that regard. I think the internet likely does isolate us and exacerbate inclinations that we have. So I guess there is that. But, you know, we've had the internet now for a very long time. It's at least, what, 3 decades or so. And, you know, I don't know that the recent spate of stuff that we're seeing is necessarily caused by that. So I don't know. I guess that's a long way of saying I don't know. But I do definitely see it among young kids who were locked away for formative years, I think, quite speciously. You know, we didn't have to go as draconian as we did. Elements of our society just really seemed to buy into the idea that we should all be walking around in moon suits, and a lot of them would still have us doing it. And, you know, that's not healthy for any generation, and I fear for what's to come as those kids come of age, because I don't think they're very well prepared.
Yeah, that's very well said. Paul Morrow with us right now, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector and attorney. I want to talk a little bit about Tyler Robinson. There has been a preliminary hearing. I'm not sure of the specifics of what you call the actual title of what we experienced here already, as he has been arraigned and we're going into the process of a prosecution that involves a state charge that could levy a death penalty. I mean, from the outside looking in, as a completely novice individual looking at the evidence that's been presented, it looks like they've got a really strong case against him. But of course, it's never that simple. And I would imagine the death penalty charge elevates the situation even more. How do you feel about the prosecution of this case going into where we are at this moment?
I think you have to feel good. And just to clarify, and I don't blame you for this because it's confusing to a lot of us, including someone like me who's steeped in these issues. He actually hasn't been arraigned.
Oh.
It's a Utah law is quirky. He actually hasn't had, the way you'll know he's been arraigned, which means he's formally charged, is that you'll get his plea deal. You'll get his plea, not guilty or guilty, which we haven't gotten yet. In fact, we're a ways away from that. You know, you get that much, much quicker in most states, but you're arraigned within 24 hours here in New York State. That doesn't happen in Utah. There's a whole protracted process. But I get it, because a lot of us, I've been looking up Utah law to try to explain it. But you're absolutely right. The evidence here is very, very sound, very, very compelling. You've got all this digital stuff, which these days really compels a jury. And then you've got DNA, which is the slam dunk for juries these days. So what questions are left? Well, can he play the sort of Kohlberger card, which dragged things out for 3 years? And then at the end of it, when tempers have cooled and the memories are fading, then sort of bargain for his life, because you don't ever know what a jury is going to do. And procedurally, all along, you're not only dragging it out, but you're attacking everything the prosecution and the police did, looking for some constitutional claim or procedural claim to hang your objections on so you can knock out key evidence. And we saw that in Kohlberger, and they went all the way up to the line, tried everything under the sun, all of it completely flimsy. Judge wasn't having it, and finally, after 3 years, they bargained for his life. I think that's likely, if I'm sitting with a defense, is that's about as good as you could do here. So I think that's probably what you're looking at. But, you know, it goes to your previous question, which is this guy is very, I think, emblematic of the sort of cognitive opening that I think you were alluding to, that people get to a certain state. That was the term, cognitive aperture, that psychologists from I was doing counterterrorism hung on it. And it just really came down to the idea that people were locked in their own little worlds, very, very small, online all day, every day. That was all that they got. And through that cognitive aperture, bad messages get fed. At the time, we were dealing with primarily ISIS doing it, sort of purposely, cognizantly. But it seems to be out there, because somehow or other, this guy picked up the idea that murdering Charlie Kirk was a viable option. And he doesn't seem very shaken by that. You know, you don't really hear anything about any remorse. Not that he would necessarily say it so soon, but he really does seem to have been utterly convinced that this was the move forward. And that's the fearsome thing I go back to relative to young kids coming online who are getting some really, really bad messages. Let's hope convicting him, convicting Mangione, and others who think that they operate with pure rectitude in this area. Let's hope that serves a message, sends a message, I guess, and serves as an example to people that are thinking similarly.
We're listening to Fox News contributor Paul Morrow right now on the Tyler Robinson case, the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk. There are a lot of conversations, Paul, on the internet about a possible conspiracy. Maybe Tyler's not even the right guy. Do you pay any of those commentary, you know, lines of thought? Do you pay that any mind?
No, I don't. I've been in the middle of these investigations and seen, maybe just because I've been on the other side of it and seen some of the things that are thrown out and your jaw drops. I can't remember the New York Times printing stuff about us that I couldn't. And in fact, they'd interviewed people in the task force that I was in and just chose to ignore it and printed what they wanted to print because it worked for them politically. So I've really learned to tune a lot of that out. One of the things that you know, people always suppose in instances like this when they float these sort of conspiracy theories is that there is the ability for a task force of 10, 20, 30 people working on something, the ability for them to operate in perfect cohesion regarding creating a conspiracy, marketing a conspiracy, keeping their mouth shut and sticking to it. And that's just virtually impossible, literally impossible, I should say. It doesn't happen. You can't keep two people on the same page in these investigations. Everybody's got their idea about how it should go, et cetera. They all want to solve it more than anything else. There will be substantive disagreements here. Like, for instance, I'm sure there was some dissent about whether or not they should look to arrest a roommate, because the feeling likely is that'll give us more leverage. But looks like the roommate is fully cooperating. The case would likely be, even if it was sort of prosecutable, it might not be wonderfully strong and it might not be wonderfully serious unless, you know, there's something I don't know and he conspired. But short of that, they have him right where they want him. He's cooperating. He's doing what they want. But I'm sure there are people in there saying, no, arrest him too. Put the charges on him so that we have better ownership of him. Reasonable minds inside of prosecution can disagree on things like that. But as of now, the only thing that I see that's even remotely compelling is that Tyler Robinson did it. He bragged about it to his roommate. The roommate somehow or other didn't see that Tyler engraving bullets and carrying on the way he apparently was a real red flag. And then once apprised of the fact that Tyler confessed, the roommate did not come forward to the police. Prosecutable? Probably. Worth it? Maybe not if you have him as a witness. Mm. That, to me, is the universe of evidence right now.
That's a great insight. We're speaking with Paul Morrow. Last question I have for you is, I know that there are people who maybe emulate what Charlie Kirk does on some different scale with maybe some different details. There is a concern about people's safety and speaking out, and that there might be copycats out there. Is there a way that law enforcement, does the FBI, local law enforcement, when other people are picking up where Charlie Kirk left off at, you know, university stops around the country, is there a common sense way to anticipate something like this from a copycat happening that we're actually investigating in our law enforcement agencies, federal and local?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think a smart question, because that's how we should be thinking, is, okay, we had this awful, awful thing. Let the authorities do their thing. Keep an eye on it, of course. That's our role in a free society. We can bird dog them to make sure that nothing's being swept under the rug. But at the same time, let's look forward and make sure it doesn't happen again. I don't think we do enough of that sort of thinking in this country. But that said, yeah, and it's happening. I know a lot of people who are involved. I've gotten calls from people to go out and do site surveys and things like that. I generally pass it off to people I know,
yeah.
Because they'll go out and charge for it and everything else. Some people will do it just for God and country. But yeah, and I think if you're in a university setting, then you really do have to be thinking this way. And I know this is the part where I am supposed to say, we're not intimidated. We're going to continue to hold events outside. And the First Amendment gives us that right, and we won't be shut down. But the practical issue is that the universities are not going to want to own that liability. And so to ensure that the universities don't completely back off of conservative voices on campus, I think that it does have to be, and it looks like there is going to be a little bit more of a joint effort to make sure that security from the university is up to par. The events likely will be held indoors, which might limit attendance, but I think that that's unfortunately a reality here. But I think more importantly is the fact that I think that there's a cognizance now that the sort of Antifa showing up to make sure that the conservative doesn't even get a chance to take the mic, as we've seen in places like Berkeley, where Antifa shows up to try to burn down the venue because they don't want to hear what a speaker is going to say. I don't think that's going to be brooked anymore. I don't think that's going to be countenanced. I think that you're going to see better enforcement there, which should have been there all along.
Yeah.
And the universities have not done that, to their shame.
Amen. Well, you have such a calming voice in all of this and sensibility about it, and we always appreciate you sharing some of your afternoon with us. Paul Morrow, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Anytime.
Sounds good. Bye-bye. Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector and attorney, founder of theopsdesk.org. You can follow him on X at Paul D. Morrow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Get Ryan back in here. The YouTube live chat poll. Should all combat military members have to meet the same physical standards? Yes or no? We heard the announcement from Pete Hegseth, and he's very, very proud to say everything's going back to the highest of standards and everybody will have to meet the same ones. How do you feel about that? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Inspired Show, the YouTube poll. Should all combat military members have to meet the same physical standards? Yes or no? Ryan, you just read some comments in the time check earlier about this poll. What are your thoughts on it?
I would like to make a lot of jokes and be like, no, I think there's lots of different standards for people of different genders and ages. But I mean, it seems pretty straightforward to me that this is one that you just say yes, all combat military members, because the key word there is combat military members. Because if you're doing a different job in the military, you may not have to be as combat ready in the same way. But if you need to be combat ready, you got to be combat ready. So that means yes to this poll.
You know there are no female Navy SEALs?
Yeah, of course I knew that.
Did you know there are no female Navy SEALs?
Yep.
I mean, I would think that that's the highest standard.
Yeah.
There might be, you know, I'm thinking like Green Berets or some other individual special ops groups that exist that need to be, I mean, basically better than human to do with the things that they do. There are a lot of reasons why it's complicated to have men and women in combat together. And I'm not ready to say that women don't belong in combat. but I don't understand anybody that would articulate that a job like combat would ask less of women than it would ask of men. So if the ask is the same, then the standards should be the same. Yeah. If you have to be able to achieve a certain goal, defeat a certain obstacle, complete a certain kind of mission, it takes what it takes. You probably have to be able to scale a certain height of fence. You have to be able to pull yourself up a certain amount of times. And if you have men or women who cannot meet those standards, it would put in peril the other men and women who have met those standards in order to compensate for the lack of ability. So it's not personal. I have a feeling that the standards that were reset today by Pete Hegseth probably caused some men to be concerned too.
Heck yeah. 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 He was calling out fat generals. He called them all home. Hey, you guys are all coming home for a meeting. And then he did that. You got to think, if you're a little overweight, if you're like a general who's been in service for a long time, you're in your 60s, you're like, whoa, wait a second now. I mean, seriously, you got to be a little worried. I do wonder, as a this is a hypothetical, but for me, it's actually, let me separate these things for a second, actually, before I say that. I have cystic fibrosis, so the draft has never been a concern for me. I can't be drafted because I have a chronic illness. And it's a genetic one. It's not even one like that I could say, well, I developed it. I always had it, so there's no doubt about it. So it's never been an issue for me. But I wonder now, if you were ever to institute the draft, which is a different topic, and I wonder if we ever would even still do the draft, because times are different than they were in the 70s and before. But if you were to institute the draft now, and there's a transgender ban on military service, could you just say, if you're a guy, could you just say, yeah, I'm a girl? And then be immediately barred from the draft. Like, I think you might be able to do it. I think we would see that. It's just a random hypothetical that I just was rolling around in my mind.
Which, it's the scenarios that can roll around in our mind when we're thinking about these things are absurd. Mm-hmm. But this is where we are.
Yeah.
Except for today, Pete Hegseth said we're not there anymore.
He's getting the military back to being what you expect the military to be. You don't change it into something else.
Wildly exceptional.
For no reason. The military is intended to be exactly what he's talking about. And that's what so much of the stuff with the Trump administration is, you know, you have these kind of big personalities that are saying these things, so they sound radical in the face of a society that's being very progressive. But what they're saying is really normal. They're just getting it back to the place where it's just normal. And so it's not controversial, but it sounds controversial because we're so unused to hearing it.
Yeah, I don't understand at all. Like in my reality where I live, I don't understand why this is controversial. The thing that I find to be interesting about this is that I don't really feel, maybe it's because the news story is super, or the news cycle is super, super full right now. Specifically with the government shutdown, which is a huge story. While that does affect the American public, it is a political story. So if you're not interested in politics, Ryan, yesterday our poll was something like, how are you going to feel if the government shuts down? Blame Republicans, blame Democrats, or I really couldn't care less. It was like 37% said I couldn't care less of our audience.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And these are people who engaged.
Yeah.
So.
Most of the rest of them wanted to blame Democrats.
Well, but
But the fact that you were somebody who's listening to political talk radio, taking the time to go to a YouTube channel and vote in a poll like that, to say that over a third of the people are like,
yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great spot, a great little capture of where we are in America. Because when this story comes up, it comes up so often now because they do these CRs. That, oh, we'll extend it by 6 months. We'll extend it by a year. And then it comes back around and it's the same story again. That people don't care anymore. So when the government shuts down, that used to be this big poker chip for Democrats, and the media would carry their water and say, well, anytime the government shuts down, A, we're going to make a huge deal about it and make you think that it's the end of the world. And then second, we're going to blame Republicans. And I don't think either one of those things really work anymore. And Trump's taken full advantage of that. He is full art of the deal right now with the government shutdown stuff, saying, oh, okay, you either keep the government open but on our terms, or we're going to shut the government down and reduce the size of the federal government. Either one, we're okay with. Now, Democrats, it's in your court.
Brad, do you think all combat military members should have the same physical standards?
Absolutely. I think it was George Patton, General Patton, said that you don't win wars by dying for your country. You win wars by making the other guy die for his. And what Pete Hegseth is doing here is he's recreating the military into a lethal fighting force. He's making war fighters. And if you can meet the standards, great, jump online. I wouldn't want to go to war with somebody that couldn't carry me out. And that's kind of what I think they're looking for in this.
Well, we're asking you to come vote. We'd love to have your thoughts on this. Should all combat military members have to meet the same physical standards? Yes or no? A couple of comments that we haven't featured here. Did you unstar yours?
I did. Okay, yeah, these are all fresh.
Doug said, I don't expect males and females to have the same fitness capabilities. I do expect combat soldiers to have the same fitness capabilities regardless of gender. Correct. It's not discriminatory. It's actually as inclusive as it can be. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, where you go to church, if you go to church, what your skin color is, what your gender is. Here's what you have to be able to do. Can you do it? Let's go. I think Doug makes a great point.
And if you're saying that's gender discriminatory, then what you're saying is, oh, I identify the difference between a man and a woman.
We will be doing X's and Y's at 2:30 on the Annie Fry Show. We'd love to know your questions about what men might think from the lady's standpoint. Why do you fill in the blank or the opposite? Women can certainly ask those questions, and men as well. It's a very simple thing. The understanding of difference between men and women. Why is this controversial? It doesn't matter why it's controversial. It's been controversial now for, what would you say, 12 years, 15 years maybe, that we've been asking this question and like kind of been shushed into not saying anything about it. It's been talked about enough now that I'm kind of taking the temperature of the room, and I'm thinking, I don't think people are that worked up about what Pete Hegseth said today. What a sign of the times that is. Go vote. Leave a comment. We'll be right back. Johnny be
good. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.